Good morning, going into afternoon. Today is a Communion Sunday. I'm downstairs leading worship, and next Sunday I will be with you in person. Today I'm sharing the Word of God through this recorded message. The Word of God today comes to us in two places. First, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, and Philippians 4, 4. Now, first, Psalm 126. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. All of us have good days and bad days. You know you're going to have a bad day when the worst player on the golf course wants to play you for the money, then you know you're going to have a bad day. Your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles, and your twin sister forgets your birthday. Or you know you're going to have a bad day when your kids treat you the same way that you treated your parents. And you know you're going to have a bad day when you call your wife and tell her that you would like to eat out tonight, and when you get home, there's a sandwich on the front porch. You know you're going to have a bad day. And you know you're going to have a really bad day when you discover that your 12-year-old idea of humor is putting crazy glue in your preparation H. That's a pretty bad day. As a pastor, you know you're going to have a bad day when someone in your congregation pours out their heart with personal problems and you just can't seem to remember their name. And as a pastor, you know you're going to have a bad day when you've just announced to turn off phones and someone's phone goes off. And as a pastor, you know you're going to have a bad day when projection machine doesn't work and the organist plays and you have to sing a solo because no one has lyrics to the song. And lastly, you know as a pastor, you're going to have a bad day when you thought you've given a best sermon ever, and when you come home, your wife tells you that you need to prepare more for next Sunday. You know you are having a bad day. We have days when we feel like we are on top of a world, yet there are days when we feel like disappearing from the face of the earth. When everything and anything is not going well, believe me, there are days like that for every one of us. Life is full of mountaintop shouts and at times, valley sighs. I want to ask you, where are you today? How are you doing? Are you having a good day or are you having a bad day? Even in the life of Jesus, he had ups and downs. He received praises from the people one moment, and the next, he was carrying the cross. One moment, he was hanging on the cross, and the next, he was risen in a glorious body. The issue is not about having or not having problems, trials, tribulations, stresses, tensions, and anxieties. The issue is, how are we going to handle them? Natural reaction to hardship is with the frown and misery. However, that is not the way that God desires for us to respond. He demands us to rejoice at all times and in all circumstances. Is God demanding the impossible? Well, first of all, we must understand the definition of joy that the Bible is talking about. Well, we know the word happiness and we know the word joy, and they are not the same in our understanding. Human beings are in pursuit of happiness. And this happiness is all about living well, having the health, wealth, and security. If you ask anyone on what brings happiness, they will state the external factors. And according to the condition of life, they will determine the level of happiness. But as we looked at earlier, life is not all positive. Conditions change, not only for the better, but it can turn sour and ugly in an instant. Then what? What happens to happiness? Happiness is very limited to conditions and circumstances. Happiness depends on happenings. However, joy is deeper than happenings, higher than circumstances, and wider than just simple factors of life. Joy comes within, while happiness comes from outside. How can I have this joy that comes from within? Well, just listen to the lyrics of song, the children's song. I got the joy down in my heart. Happiness is a feeling. Joy is an attitude, a posture, a position, a place that we need to be. True joy is not a moody stuff, not a fluctuating emotion. It is a state and condition of our spirit. It is intimately aligned and bound up with love and goodness, and so is dependent upon our relationship with God. Sitting here in this afternoon, we may feel content about my life, but ask yourself, is contentment created internally, or is it the result of how things are going right now in my surroundings? When your finance, when your health, when your relationships are all okay, you may feel content. However, when they change, how will you be? How can I have this joy that is independent from what I can have in this world? How can I be joyous in this unpredictable world of ours? How can I find joy during this pandemic when everything seems to be paralyzed and broken? How can I be joyous in this unpredictable world? Well, first of all, joy means having hope. That's the first step. We are people of hope. Without hope, we cannot survive. Someone said a human being can survive 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not 1 minute without hope. And talking about hope, there's real hope and false hope. Oftentimes, we place our hope on wrong things. The false hope is putting hope on our stock market, on large salary, on good spouse. They may be temporary things, meaning that they can be taken away anytime. That's why Paul says in Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope. This hope is talking about Jesus Christ, hope in Jesus Christ. For him to be first and utmost hope we have, hope that God plans, God has planned for me, and that plan is greater than my own plan. So even in our failure, even in our problems, even in the harshest of circumstances, we do not fall apart, but we are able to rejoice because we know that we have hope in Jesus Christ. And the second step we need to take is this. Joy means having the confidence that God has a purpose in every situation. Romans 5:3 says this, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Greek word translated here as suffering means distress. And it refers to anything that puts us under pressure, our problems, stress, trials, and troubles. There's misconception that many people believe that getting rid of problems will bring me joy. But the truth is, as long as we live, we will face stress, problem, and hardship. The issue is not about getting rid of problems, but learning how to deal with them will either bring joy or misery. Joy is not absence of problems, but presence of God. And people seem to misinterpret God's what this godly joy is all about. Paul is not saying that we ought to fake it, pretend or deny the reality by acting as if nothing happened. He's not talking about becoming masochist. I meet time to time Christians who have this martyr complex. They believe that more they suffer, the more spiritual they're going to become. And they don't have joy in their life. Always they're tense and uptight and angry at times. Read what Paul says. We rejoice in our suffering, not because of our suffering. Today's passage in Psalm 126, it says that those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Christians will sow tears because it is difficult to be in suffering. But we rejoice knowing that one day we're going to sing songs of joy. One of my favorite verses, Romans 8:28, and this is what it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know that in all things, not something, in all things, God is going to work for the good of those who love him. If you're in a loving relationship with God, that all things in our lives is going to work for the good, not for the bad, but for the good. This is a purpose of God. This is intentional purpose of God. This verse calls us to love Jesus. That's all. That's all. We just need to be in love with Jesus, and his purpose and his goal is to work for the good of those who love him. Joy is all about perspective. There's a kind of an interesting story of a sudden explosion in a building, a flash of fire, and a man fell back blinded and faint. At the hospital, he discovered that he had lost the sight of his right eye. His friend came to express their sympathy and bemoan his loss, but he said, "Stop it. Praise the Lord instead." They couldn't understand his attitude, but he explained, "How happy I am that I still have one eye left." They were concentrating on his handicap, but he was counting his blessings. We are so prone to be preoccupied with our troubles that we forget the many joy and the benefits that remained. I was watching America Got Talent the other day, and there was a lady who came out. She was in the last stage of cancer, and she sang a beautiful song of hope. And she said something that touched the hearts of many people. You don't have to wait until everything's okay to be happy. You don't have to wait until everything is healthy, wealthy, and perfect to be happy. And she had 2% chance. And this is what she said, 2% is better than nothing. 2% is better than nothing. What a perspective. What an attitude. Perspective makes all the difference in the world. How we respond to the problem at work, problem at home, health problems depends on our perspectives. Paul says we are to rejoice regardless of circumstances because we have hope, because we have God working in our lives for us, not against us. And we rejoice because we know that suffering produces something. Suffering can be productive. Let's take childbirth, for example. After much contraction, which is suffering, life is produced. Suffering of a mother produces life, a new child. James 1, 2, and 3 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance literally means the ability to handle pressure. James 1:4 says this, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Perseverance must produce maturity, and maturity produces fruit of joy. Last Sunday, we talked about fruit of spirit of love. When you're in love with God, when you're in love with people, the next response, next attitude is joy. Knowing that you are in loving relationship with God, that produces joy. But not all suffering produces maturity. I know people who suffer a lot, and instead of coming out better, they come out bitter. It is only when we choose the right attitude that we will see the fruit of joy. The answer to the problem of suffering is not anger, it's not disappointment, but it is with joy. Rejoicing not for the problem, but in our problem, because we're not alone. We have God who cares and God who is willing to travel with me. Become joyous fruit, not bitter fruit. Christians can be joyful in tough times because there's always hope. Because God's purpose is always greater than my problems. Paul is writing the letter to Philippians from prison cell. Talk about perspective. He's in prison and he's telling people, the Christians in Philippi, to rejoice. And rejoice not sometimes, but all the time, in all circumstances. This joy is possible because we know that God is with us. Isaiah 43:2 It's a great verse. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not set you ablaze. Why? Because God is with us. When we know that God is always with us, with me, journey will be easier. It'll be fearless. It'll be with confidence. Do you realize that we sin when we think that we're all alone? We worry when I think I need to be in control. We fear when we think we are all alone. But joyful heart will always remember that I'm not traveling alone in this world, but God is with me. And the relationship that I have with God is not ordinary relationship. It is a loving relationship. We all desire to be joyful. Though the Spirit grants joy like any other fruit of a Spirit, there got to be a workout. There's something that we need to do in order to really exercise this muscle of joy. Joy is like muscle. The more you use it, stronger it will get. The less you use it, it's going to disappear. We need to develop the muscle of joy. In order to do so, we need to do a few things. First, we need to have an attitude of gratitude. Thessalonians 5:18 says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks in all circumstances is the will of God. Don't we always seek will of God? What is the will of God in my life? It is to give thanks in all circumstances. That is the will of God. Remember that we don't have to be thankful for the circumstances, but in all circumstances. Even though I'm in this circumstance, we can learn to give thanks. Grateful people are happy people. Learn to express your gratitude, not just those people who are lovable and lovely, but to people who may be difficult. Learn to express your gratitude. Don't forget to thank God. You know, gratitude goes a long way to tell someone that the person's appreciated. That goes a long way. Psalm 28:7 says this, my heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Second thing that we need to do is not only gratitude, but also have giving heart. Acts 20:35 says this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. Why? It is because we're most like God when we give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. This is an important thing to remember, that we are most like God. God's image in the Garden of Eden is restored. Our spirituality is restored. The image of joy is restored when we are willing to give. Not give grudgingly, but give cheerfully. When we give, we're making room for God to give us more. Isn't it true that some of us, if not many of us, we have garage sale to make room for new things to come in? Likewise, we need to keep on giving it away so that God can give us more. God never encourages for us to store up and hog up. God taught us the lesson of wasting away when we store up here on earth. God says to store up treasures in heaven, and that only happens when we're willing to give away. Now, when it comes to giving, I'm not just talking about just to church, but to people around as well. But when it comes to financing, God wants us to be stewards, not owners. And this is what he says. It's the best way to become stewards of God. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. Test me in this. This is the only place that God says, test me, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. Take this challenge and see what will happen when you begin to give. A godly farmer once said this, I shovel into God's storehouse, and he shovels back into mine, and God has a bigger shovel than mine. Third thing that we need to do is not only give thanks, but to give And the third thing we need to do is to serve in order to find joy in our lives. Ephesians 6, 7, and 8, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. People who are busy just for themselves are under stress. But people who are busy serving others, they find joy. They find excitement. Joy comes when we get our focus off, attention off of us and onto other people. Just as Jesus shared with the people around that we need to share, especially when it comes to spiritual stuff, to find joy, you need to really find people to share the message of Jesus Christ. Because when we share Jesus with others, we have to understand what happens. Luke 15, 10 says this, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God for one sinner who repents. One person who have heard the message of Jesus Christ and returns to God, you have become the agents of God for them to, for God to throw a party in heaven. Joy is elusive because the very exercise that produces it run counter to the culture that we are used to. Culture looks at our own interest and tells us to look at, for our own interest and our, for our own betterment. But Jesus teaches us to consider others better than ourselves. Focus of attention is not on me, but on other people, and for them to find joy in their life as well. Joy is to life what shock absorber are to automobiles. It will not take the potholes out of the road, but it sure will make the ride smoother. There are too many angry Christians all around us, filled with hatred and anger and anxiety toward those people who do not see theology eye to eye, and they don't practice the way they do. And there are so many people who are considered children of God, casting stone at those who are different, who are in need of a gospel. How are you doing as a witness of Jesus Christ? The world does not want to see angry Christians, but joyous people. Because of COVID, because of life circumstances, people have lost joy. And to this generation, God is telling, rejoice, rejoice. Not because there are things to rejoice, but you are in relationship with me. So that's good enough for you to find joy in that relationship. Remember the short passage, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. May God bless you on this Communion Sunday as we come before the table to partake of body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we come rejoicing, knowing that my God gave me a new life, a new opportunity. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our God. Thank you for restoring the image that was lost in the Garden of Eden because of our sinfulness. And today, we shared about what it means to have joy, the fruit of joy. Even though the world is filled with sadness, with tragedies, with news that are not good, we want to reside in you. And instead of just being worried and anxious about so many things, we want to rejoice knowing that you are our God and you are still in control. God, thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.